Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. We've looked at some pretty wild cases, but today's deep dive is going to take us to one that's, well, it's truly fascinating, scientifically at least. It's the Delphos CE2 case. It's got everything. Glowing soil, tangible evidence that was actually analyzed in labs, and this mystery that's just lingered for over 50 years now.
I think what really pulls you in with the Delphos case is that it goes way beyond just people saying they saw something. You know, like, we've got actual physical evidence, scientific analysis, like a whole trail of research that's pretty amazing, but also kind of frustrating because there are some gaps in it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And our main source for this deep dive is this super comprehensive report by Dr. Errol Fedoruk. He's a chemist who actually worked on analyzing the soil samples from Delphos way back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty dense read, I'm not going to lie, but it's just packed with so much like data and witness testimonies. There's even some like letters back and forth between him and other researchers. So it gives us a lot to work with.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Farouk's work is really important because he didn't just like stop at, okay, here's what's in the soil. He was trying to figure out the how and the why.
Right, right.
Which is so important, you know, for any good scientific investigation, especially when we're talking about UAPs.
Exactly. So, okay, let's set the scene. November 2nd, 1971. Farm near Delphos, Kansas. 16-year-old Ronald Johnson out taking care of his sheep. And he hears this sound, this weird rumbling noise, kind of like a washing machine that's, you know, totally gone bonkers.
Oh, I can just imagine.
And then he sees it, this bright object hovering about 75 feet away. It's glowing, all these different colors, blue, red, orange.
You know, it's interesting. Ronald actually mentioned seeing a beam of light, like connecting the object to the ground.
Right, right.
That's going to come up again later when we start digging into that whole soil analysis part.
For sure. And before we get too far into this, I know what you're thinking, you know, oh, maybe it was just some kid's imagination running wild. But here's the thing. There was this reserve police officer in a town not too far away who reported seeing a bright light in the sky around the exact same time.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we've got another witness.
Exactly. It adds a layer of, like, credibility to Ronald's story, don't you think?
Absolutely. Having multiple witnesses, especially someone like a police officer who's, you know, trained to pay attention to detail, it really strengthens the case. Makes you think there was definitely something unusual going on that night.
Right. So the object takes off, makes this crazy loud jet engine kind of sound, and Ronald's temporarily blinded by how bright it was. But here's where it gets really interesting. The Johnson family finds this glowing ring of soil right where that object was hovering. And it wasn't just normal dirt. It felt cool and slick, almost like it was crystallized or something. And it had these tiny little craters all over it.
I mean, that's so bizarre. Most soil, even if it gets really heated up, wouldn't do that. You know, it points to something really strange happening.
Yeah. And to make things even weirder, when they touched the ring, their fingers went numb. Like they used a topical anesthetic or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were totally freaked out. I mean, can you blame them? They called up the local newspaper, talked to the sheriff, the whole nine yards.
So at this point, we're not just talking about sightings. We're talking about physical evidence.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sheriff Ralph Enloe and some of his officers went out to the farm the next day. They saw the ring, took a soil sample. The fact that the police were involved, documented it all, it lends even more credibility to the case, I think.
Totally agree.
Then, a month later, Ted Phillips, a MUFON investigator, arrives at the farm and collects more soil samples, both from the ring and the surrounding area.
Smart. Got to have those control samples.
Well, absolutely. It's what makes this case so unique. You can't just go around claiming something's extraordinary without, like, proper evidence collection.
Yeah, that's how you end up with all these shaky UAP cases. It's important to rule out any, you know, normal explanations before jumping to conclusions.
Exactly. Okay, so that's where Dr. Farouk comes in. He gets these soil samples in 1977, and he starts analyzing them. One of the first things he notices is how weirdly resistant the ring soil is to water. Like, normal soil just soaks it up, right? Mm. Like a sponge.
Right.
But this stuff, it was hydrophobic. Like, picture water beating up on a freshly waxed car. It just wouldn't absorb.
Yeah, hydrophobic, that means water-fearing. It's like oil and water, you know, they just don't mix. That soil was acting like it had this, like, coating that just pushed the water away. Super unusual for soil in that environment.
Totally. And after a bunch of tests, Dr. Farouk finds this unique red compound in the ring soil. It was, like, soap-like. Mm. And it turns out that's what was making the soil hydrophobic.
Oh, interesting. So they found the culprit?
Yeah, but here's the thing. This compound, it was water-soluble, meaning it dissolves in water. but somehow it was making the soil repel water. It's kind of a paradox, like it's messing with the soil's basic personality.
Yeah, it's like adding something to the soil that totally changes how it acts, right?
Exactly. But then there's another twist. This compound, it glows under UV light.
Right.
Like it emits visible light when you shine ultraviolet radiation on it.
Whoa, wait a minute. So this is directly tied to what the witnesses saw. Like it wasn't just that they saw light. The stuff in the soil could actually produce light.
That's what Dr. Furuk thought. It's this amazing correlation, you know, and it's what led him to the spray model. Imagine the object had a solution of this compound and just like sprayed it onto the ground.
A spray model, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that would explain the ring's shape, wouldn't it?
Like, yeah.
How it was stretched out in the direction the wind was blowing that night. And even those tiny craters, it's like little droplets of the solution hitting the soil, making those marks.
It really starts to paint a picture,
yeah.
You know? But the science behind this whole thing goes even deeper.
Okay, so we've got this weird soil that won't absorb water, glows in the dark, and this strange compound that seems to be causing it all. But Dr. Furuk's research, it was just like one piece of the puzzle, you know? There were other labs that looked at the Delpho soil too, and what they found adds even more layers to this whole thing.
It's like a real-life science mystery, right?
Yeah.
Every new clue, it gets us closer to the truth, but also raises more questions.
Totally.
Some of those early analyses, they focused on the basics, like what elements were in the soil. And they found something interesting. No signs of like extreme heat or radiation.
Oh, see, that's important because it rules out some of those like more obvious explanations, right? Remember, the witnesses said the ring was cool when they touched it. And these tests, they back that up. It wasn't heat or radiation messing with the soil.
Right.
So what was it then?
Yeah, it really deepens the mystery. And then we have Phyllis Budinger, another scientist who's studied the Delphos soil. She confirmed a lot of what Dr. Furuk found, like, you know, the whole hydrophobic thing, the presence of that weird red compound.
So that's good, right? More evidence pointing in the same direction. Like, it makes you feel like they're onto something.
Yeah, it adds validity to the findings. Yeah.
Exactly. When you have multiple researchers using different methods and they're all coming to similar conclusions, it strengthens the whole case.
For sure. But here's where things get a little tricky. Budinger, she decided that the compound in the soil was something called fulvic acid. Now, fulvic acid, it's a natural substance that's found in soil. So on the surface, it seems like, okay, maybe that's it, case closed.
Right, a simple explanation.
Yeah. But even though fulvic acid is natural, the amount they found in the Delphos soil and its specific properties, they were way different than normal. It wasn't just like, oh, there's a little extra fulvic acid here. It was more complicated than that.
So even with this, like, natural explanation, the weirdness didn't go away.
Exactly.
Mm.
And Dr. Furuk, he wasn't convinced about the whole fulvic acid thing either.
Mm.
He pointed out that fulvic acid, being an acid, shouldn't have reacted with silver nitrate the way the Delphos compound did.
Mm, interesting.
He used silver nitrate to, like, isolate the compound, and if it was really just fulvic acid, that process wouldn't have worked.
So there's a conflict, a scientific disagreement.
Yeah, but that's how science works, right?
Yeah.
You have different researchers, they test things, they debate their findings. It's all part of the process.
Exactly. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about pushing each other, challenging assumptions, and getting closer to the truth through like this back and forth.
Like a scientific sparring match.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so beyond this whole fulvic acid debate, there's another layer to the Delphos case that's super interesting. It involves those letters that Dr. Furuk exchanged with Ted Phillips, the MUFON investigator.
Oh, yeah, the letters. This is where it gets a little mysterious. We're talking about, like, secret labs, hidden findings, the whole nine yards. It's like something out of a spy movie.
Totally. Okay, so in these letters, Phillips confirms that the numbing effect that the witnesses felt, it was real. He even mentions that a doctor tested it. But then he drops this bombshell. Two other labs in the U.S., including Battelle Memorial Institute, this big deal research facility, were also analyzing the Delphos soil.
Whoa. Okay. Battelle, that's huge. They do some really high-level research, often for the government. Why would they be interested in a ring of soil from some farm in Kansas?
Right. And get this. Philip says he got a preliminary report from Battelle. And guess what? They found evidence of chemiluminescence.
Whoa. Really? So that backs up Dr. Furuk's idea.
Yeah, but there's a catch. The full findings from Battelle and from the other lab in St. Louis, they never released them. Phillips kept trying to get more information, but nobody would tell him anything.
That's so frustrating. We have these hints that something big might have been discovered, but then silence. What did those labs find? And why all the secrecy? It just adds to the mystery.
I know. It's like hitting a brick wall. And the frustration doesn't stop there. In 2004, Dr. Farouk was emailing with Phillips and Budinger, trying to track down any remaining soil samples for more testing. He wanted to do more research, but it was like searching for a needle in a haystack.
Oh, man. That happens a lot with UAP research, you know? Evidence gets lost, misplaced, or just disappears. It makes it almost impossible to do follow-up studies or try new techniques.
And that's exactly what happened with the Delphos soil. The first sample, the one the sheriff took, gone. The samples that were sent to other researchers, thrown out. Or, according to Phillips, some unknown group is holding on to them. It's like the trail just goes cold.
It's a reminder that even when we have good science, we're still dealing with a phenomenon that we don't fully understand. And sometimes the evidence, it just slips through our fingers.
So where does that leave us? We have this fascinating case, intriguing evidence, but ultimately more questions than answers.
Yeah.
But maybe that's okay. Maybe the journey, you know, the exploration is just as important as finding all the answers.
I agree. The Delphos case shows us how important scientific inquiry is, how we need to be transparent with our findings, and it reminds us that the UAP phenomenon is still full of mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery that keeps us wanting to learn more.
Absolutely. We may not have all the answers right now, but that doesn't mean we should stop searching. That curiosity, that drive to understand what we don't know, that's what matters.
Well said. Now, before we wrap up our deep dive into the Delphos case, we got to talk about the implications. If we take the evidence seriously, if we consider the possibility that this was a real UAP event, what does that mean? What doors does it open? Okay, so we've gone through the events of that night in Delphos. We've looked at the science and we've talked about all those unanswered questions. But now it's time to like really dig into what this case might mean. What if this was, you know, a real UAP encounter? What does that tell us?
It's huge. It's not just about lights in the sky anymore. The Delphos case, with the witnesses and all that scientific data, it makes us rethink what we think we know about UAPs and how they might interact with, you know, our world.
Yeah, and one of the things that really sticks out to me is how unlikely it is that this was a hoax. Dr. Farouk talks about this in his report, and it's convincing. Like, imagine trying to fake all of that. The soil changes, the way it wouldn't absorb water, that compound that glows under UV light, it's a lot.
Right. And don't forget all the other details. The numbing sensation the witnesses describe, the police officer seeing the light, that glowing ring, it's all connected, you know? It's really hard to say it was all just made up.
So if it wasn't a hoax, what was it? I mean, we're left with two possibilities, right? Either it was some kind of natural phenomenon that we've never seen before, or it was a UAP event.
Yeah, I mean, we can't rule out something natural happening. But with the Delphos case, it doesn't seem likely. Like, there's no known natural process that can explain everything they found. The compound, the hydrophobicity, the glowing, the numbness. It all points to something really strange. Even the fairy ring idea, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, the fairy rings you see sometimes, those circles of mushrooms, they're caused by fungus, right?
Yeah.
But the Delphos ring, it didn't have any mushrooms, and the soil chemistry was totally different.
Right, it's a good thought, but it doesn't match up with the evidence.
So that leaves us with the UAP hypothesis, but that opens up even more questions.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, if it was a UAP, what was it doing spraying that stuff on the ground? Was it on purpose, an accident, or was the compound itself important, or just like a side effect of something else? It's all speculation at this point, but it's important to ask those questions. That's how we start to figure things out.
It's wild to think about how much we don't know.
Yeah.
But the Delphos case, it shows that when we're careful about collecting evidence and doing the science, even with something as strange as UAPs, we can learn something.
Absolutely. Without people like Dr. Farouk and Ted Phillips collecting those samples, this case would probably just be another story, another sighting. But because they were so thorough, we have real data to work with.
The Delphos case is a great example of how science can shed light on even the most mysterious things. It's about curiosity, about not giving up, and always wanting to know more. We may not have all the answers yet, but the search itself, that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, it's the journey, you know? And the Delphos case, with all its strangeness and unanswered questions, it reminds us that there's so much out there that we don't understand, and that's a good thing. It keeps us looking, keeps us wondering.
Well said. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the Delphos CE2 case. We really encourage you to check out the source material, all the details, and, you know, come to your own conclusions. Maybe someday we'll have all the answers about the Delphos ring. But until then, keep looking up, keep asking those questions, and keep exploring.
And never forget, the universe is full of amazing things, and trying to understand them is what makes life so incredible.